Would you give your mum, dad, aunt or that uncle who hugged your partner a little too long free access to your phone?
Oh, no!
Oh, my God, it's a really long video. Ew!
In Dave's brand new YouTube original, Get Off My Phone, we've got six comedians to give their phones over to a relative with total freedom to read messages, DMs, photos and browser history.
Where's your search history?
Sorry?
What to do, tips for relief.
The rules are simple. Their relative can read anything they want and even make calls from the comedian's phone.
What is this?
What is... I don't want this one.
That looks really bad.
Starring Tanya Moore, Anya Magliano, Finlay Christie, Travis J with his mum Angie Lamar, Hayley Morris, Grace Campbell and dad Alistair Campbell.
Slightly sexually compromising
people. Divulging their deepest digital secrets.
What the hell is happening?
Get Off My Phone, a Dave YouTube original. Available now on Dave's YouTube channel.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Magic Sponge.
Fuck off, do it properly.
Okay. Jimmy's got a baguette.
I have chicken and bacon.
And Jimmy's, you've come in full of beans.
I am, yeah. I didn't see the Russian today.
Jimmy's been having a...
I'm over
I'll introduce them. We've got Ian Smith, obviously, here on the show. Hello, and Graham Stack is our guest.
Stacky! Welcome, son. How are you?
Jim, I'm okay.
We shook hands there for all you listeners.
Graham, so I call you Graham Stack? Stacky?
Stacky, yeah.
Stacky, is it? Graham's a quiet.
Yeah, Graham don't really go.
It don't suit you, does it?
What a shit name, isn't it?
Yeah.
Graham.
I don't recall me Graham as a school teacher and my mum.
Yeah. Graham?
Yeah, when you...
When I've been naughty.
Yeah, you don't... I don't feel comfortable calling you Graham. You don't look like Graham, especially some of the stories we've heard about you.
Call Graham, he punches you.
Are you mates with Jamie And?
Yes, my mate. Yeah, very good mate of mine.
Yeah, he was sort of one of the... biggest reactions we've ever got from a story is about when the shit bomb incident.
Yeah.
Are you aware of this? Where you...
That's a mild one for foot, yeah.
I told
Jay.
Because we had him on here and it was like having a sit down with a serial killer.
Well, he lived with me for a year.
It's quite intense, isn't it?
Yeah,
he lived with him for a year.
He lived with Danielle for a year.
Yeah, me, my four kids, and Jay and the
Are you kids?
Yeah. So the kids are doing it at school now.
They're shit bombing their teacher. What was he like to live with?
I love him a bit. He's a good kid. Got a lot of time. I knew him growing up when I first moved to the area in Ruislip. He was at Watford.
Yeah.
And I was at Arsenal. And I remember he was sort of a rising star, if you like, sort of in the area.
Yeah.
Made his debut. I think he might have played against Frank Lampard or Patrick Vieira for Watford.
Is he a good player?
Yeah.
He used to be a good player. But he just ran all day. He tackled. He sort of... Old school, really, sort of wore his arm in his sleeve.
He wasn't a bad player, though.
He could play.
Ian, you're going to do a chant for Stacky, aren't you, by the end of the show?
Oh, yeah, chant.
Yeah, did you have any chants when you played?
I had some shockers, yeah.
Really?
Normally from my own punters.
Did you have a song when you played?
Not a specific song, I wouldn't say, but Torrent of Abuse, I'd normally get shouted at.
What word
would you like in your chant? One that cock. Rhymes with stuff.
Yeah.
Like cock.
That sounds perfect. Yeah, let's just put cock in there.
Just put cock in it.
Can you put big at the start of that as well?
Right. Big cock.
Lovely.
Yeah, anything else?
I've got one chant idea. You know, coming round the mountain when she comes. Is that
with a big cock?
I don't know. Yeah, with a big cock.
It's coming
round the mountain. What about if you come on the pitch, you're getting whacked? You know, if you come on the pitch, you're getting whacked.
With his big
cup. By a big old Gordon Graham stand.
Oh, yeah. You've already done it. Yeah. You've already done it.
Yeah, but I do another one. I've got loads in my locker. Loads in my locker to do.
Well, let's get your greatest hits at the end of the, podcast of the chance. Things, well, just recommend this to your mates. Like, and get them listening to it. Because I've got two of my mates from home who didn't even know what a podcast was.
Same as me.
I had to explain it to him, then I had to download it to him, and then put it, and then he loved it. He's listening in his van, and he thinks it's quality. So if you have got mates you think you like it, just get their phone, nick it off them, download the podcast app, download the podcast, and stick it on and get him into it. So you started off at Arsenal.
Yeah.
What was that like?
Listen, it's probably the best
very professional.
Yeah, probably the best football. Well, best football club you're going to get an education, ain't it? In terms of being a young player. It's mad the way I signed for Arsenal though, because I was actually playing central midfield for my county. And I was training at QPR as a midfielder, and I'm living in a pub. My mum and dad didn't want me being in the pub environment over school holidays, so I went to the Bob Wilson residential course in Potts Bar, and I played in goal there. And it was Bob that actually contacted the club and said, listen, we've got a kid here in goal, he's going to have a real good chance. And he contacted the club, Steve Rowley, Steve Burnshaw were there. And they said, hold on a minute, we've got this lad here on trial. Because I was at Arsenal on trial as a midfielder as well.
Oh, yeah.
And in the end, my dad sort of said, look, if Bob Wilson thinks you're going to make it as a keeper, you need to seriously consider being a keeper. And then that was it. I ended up going to Arsenal as a sort of young lad, sort of 12.
Yeah. But you could have been a better midfielder.
I probably could have done, yeah. It's crazy, really. Well, I played with a lot of good players. I used to play with Steve Sidwell in central midfield.
Yeah.
And Siddy's got an unbelievable... yeah. But he's had an incredible career. Siddy would probably be the first to hold his hand up and say, in that youth team that we had, he was probably... not as good as some of the other players.
That's what Rowan Ricky said that. He sort of said he wasn't the most talented, but his eyes were working.
But he had the best attitude, and you know, and
was it quite a lively bunch in that youth club?
It was like a youth club.
You know what? We
had some good players, but you look at youth teams now; they lack personality. They look a lot. There's no big characters in there or any leaders or stuff like that. I think the game's evolved a little bit.
It's all very professional, isn't it? Like robots.
Yeah, but in the youth team, we had Jay Boffroy, Jermaine Pennant, Ben Chorley. David Noble, Jerome Thomas. You could go on.
Actually, a bunch of rumors.
You could go on. A lot of them went on to have good careers. Pennant was a bit special, wasn't he? Pennant just used to... he used to do everything you shouldn't do, really. He used to walk... I remember we had a meeting once with Liam Brady in the morning, just about discipline around the club and blah, 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 and whatever else. People ain't doing boots properly and shooting off early and coming in late. And then Pennant turned up half hour late, walked in a meeting. You're not meant to have your phone in the training ground. He's on his phone. He's got a McDonald's in one hand. He's got his trainers on. You're meant to take them off at the door.
Yeah.
Just sort of like sum Pennant up. But then Pennant had gone and played the weekend and score a couple of goals. Yeah. I remember, Pennant playing for, I think he made his debut at the Old St Mary's against Southampton. He'd gone out on a Friday and Pennant was partial to a night out.
And, I think that's an understatement, isn't it?
He went out on a Friday, he weren't involved in a match day squad, and I think a couple went down sick and went down ill the night before the game. So Rice phoned up Penno in the morning and said, look, Jermaine, we're going to send you a car. You need to get yourself down to St Mary's, you'll be involved. Pennant's only just got in at this stage. I mean, you know, it's probably got in at 5, 6 in the morning. So Pennant's made his way down to St Mary's. He's looked up, he's starting. Must be thinking, Jesus Christ, I've only had 2 hours sleep. I was in the car on the way down there. And he ended up scoring a hat-trick, didn't he? He scored a hat-trick on his debut at St Mary's, yeah.
2 hours
And the story is, he's only had about 2 hours sleep. And I think once you do that, you must think to yourself, I'm invincible, I can do this every week. And I think I had a few words with him before a Youth Cup game or after a Youth Cup game, because I knew he'd gone out the night before, and I just sort of took it upon myself, really, just to have a little pop at him. But it went in one ear and out the other.
Did you have any like fights or rows of like in the youth, you know,
We had a good bunch. We disagree, but that was because we were characters. We could get on with each other. We went on holiday every year. We went to Ibiza when we were 17.
Did
you? All on mopeds, all going to Paradise. I remember being in Paradise when I was 17 with a vest on and a big lardy. was thinking, we've all rocked up on our mopeds. We was only on 50 quid a week. It was like 42 quid a week. Like, we're racing around the island on mopeds, just like causing havoc. Yeah. We think we're doing great because we're at Arsenal with 17-year-old kids. Yeah. Like, we're rocking up in this paradise. Like, we ain't got no money on us. I remember we jumped a couple of cabs over there. We've run off because we didn't have no money.
Yeah,
we're trying to get any super clubs in Ibiza, and at the time, probably Pesetas, whatever it is, are probably 20, 30 quid to get in.
Yeah.
But we just didn't have the money. And we were minesweeping as well. Can you imagine minesweeping on Ibiza? Can you imagine what we'd have been picking up?
Drugging yourselves.
Yeah. Drug test. Get back in the training ground.
Grab that one off the bar. He's not looking. 3 hours later, he's on the floor. Five in the mouth.
He's got every type of drug in him.
Brilliant.
So, yeah, we had a good group. And we still go away now.
Like,
a few of us go away now. Yeah, we're all meeting up, funny enough, next month.
Oh, yeah?
Trying to get together. I think because we had success as a youth team. We won two youth cups together, didn't we? So... I think
that's what it's all about.
We had a good spirit. And as well as having a good spirit, we had a good team. A lot of good players.
Didn't you nick the team bus?
I did. Yeah, it was funny.
Everyone nicks the Arsenal bus.
I just passed my driving. Just passed my driving test. I was one of the oldest in my group. And the bus used to leave Highbury, used to pick up a lot of boys in Diggs, and I was in Diggs, lived in Oakwood, and they used to pick us up at the train station. We used to make our way in, and if you'd stand up on the bus driver Lawrence used to hit the brakes. Almost as a little warning shot.
Oh, okay,
sit down. I've told you before, I'm not going to tell you again. She'd sit down. And I got in there one day and I said, Lowe, do us a favour. I said, let me just drive down, just to the end of the drive at the old London Colney. He went, you sure? I went, look, I'll go slow. He went, okay, no problem. So I'm driving down the bus. Ashley Cole's on the bus. All the youth team boys that were going back to Highbury, all the North London boys.
Yeah.
So I thought, right, I'm going to get my own back. So he's standing up next to me, isn't he? So I'm thinking, well, I'm just going to build a little bit of pace up, not go too crazy, not thinking how heavy this big bus is. So he's standing next to me and I'm tickling the brake, giving it the old wee, wee. Next minute, I've gone, fuck this, wallop. I've hit the brakes. He's fucking flown through the window. He's hit the window. He smashed the window. So the bus driver, his glasses are all cracked. He's got claret dripping down his eye. He's in a pile near the door as you get in down the steps. All the boys at the back are laughing. I've had a panic up. I tried to put it in the park. I've stuck it in reverse. Now we're going backwards. I'm like, oh my God. So then I've just stopped it. He's like, fuck, he's now panicking because he's let the youth team player drive the bus.
Yeah.
We've fucking smashed the window screen. Yeah. He needs 3 stitches. But where do we go from here? They sort of said, look, you got out of the way. I've gone and sat down the bus. All the boys are laughing at me. They think it's brilliant. I'm thinking, this is sackable. For him.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, I'm all right, because he shouldn't have let me drive.
Yeah.
And then I think the next day we've made out, because it had AFC3 as a number plate. Yeah. And obviously, going through North London, you sometimes did get a few arseholes that would try and stone the bus or whatever else. Mm. It's made it as though someone's hit the bus with a stone or whatever.
Oh,
and we've had the window fixed on the day, so the next day it was all good and it was all sort of kept hush hush. Which probably nowadays it'd be on social media.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And he's probably got the sack. But back then, But yeah, I got away with that. But it's funny, I used to drive in at 16 because living in a pub, my old man was partial to a 4-day bender, and the Sunday was his favourite day. So it was used to be chaos in the pub on a Sunday, and I used to like coming home after the games and spend a bit of time at home. And then on a Sunday morning, my dad used to, well, should have drove me in.
Yeah.
So we'd get out to the car park. He'd get in the car, we'd drive around the corner. He'd get out of the driver's seat and sit in the passenger seat and tell me to jump. He said, you can drive today, son. I'd be like, oh, can that be days? I'm only 16. I'm going to be on the M25. I'm going to do a 45-minute drive in this old Peugeot 406 it was. Don't think it had an MOT. So I'm driving at the train and I'm doing about 100 in the outside lane. I'm 16 thinking this is blinding. My old man's got his head down because he's still paralytic drunk. He's knackered. So I'm driving into Arsenal. I'm in the 406. I'm doing a runner down the motorway. He just looked at me, he opened up one eye and went, slow down. He knew exactly what I was doing. He was just trying to take liberties. So I've turned up at the training ground and Liam Brady's just got out of his car. He's seen me driving and my old man's asleep in the front seat. He's thinking, the fuck's happening here? He went, Stacky, you're not old enough to drive. I went, I know. He went, why are you driving? I said, my old man's tired. He went, we can't have that. We can't have that. And that's when he said to me, you've got to come out. You can't live in the pub. We've got to get you out of that environment.
Yeah.
And then that's when I moved into Diggs.
So then was your dad going back home? After you, because you've driven into training.
I'd stay over. So I'd start to be based in North London then.
But does he drive back?
He would drive back, yeah.
After a sleep, he made it back.
Like just going 20 mile an hour on the motorway.
So. Yeah, so, that was weird.
If you're trying to, you know, become a professional athlete and you're living in a pub, it's not the right place for it, is it?
No, it's not. But I tell you what, I wouldn't have changed it. I actually played for the pub team once. It's mad.
What pub was it? Whereabouts? It
was in Hounslow, a pub called the Shire Horse.
Right.
We had two. We had one called the White Hart in Twickenham, like Witten, borderline of Witten, and then we had the Shire in Hounslow, and I was playing for Arsenal at the time.
Right.
I was on the bench, sort of in the Premier League. You know, Jens was playing. We was frightening. But I never thought I was going to play. I was never going to get Jens out of the team. Sort of took it for granted, really, that I was involved every week and sort of looking back.
Was that invincible at the time?
Yeah. And listen, people talk about invincibles. I mean, they are all legends in their own right. I was very lucky to be involved in that. I mean, I
did. Did you get a medal?
Because you had to play 10 games.
Yeah.
So I was on the bench for probably over 50 odd games that season, Champions Leagues and stuff like that. Yeah. Played in five, played in all the cup games, got to the semis, and we lost to Borough. Yeah. But you know, looking back at that, I was a real special group, and I was probably gutted. I didn't make the most of the opportunity I had. In fairness, because
you got that Henri and
big characters, big personalities, and top players. But you know, a core of English players there at the time. Yeah. So Ray Parlour was there, you had Mark Keown, Franny Jeffers, Matty Upson, Ashley Cole. And they did help me. They tried to help me more than probably should have helped myself. My parents moved to Spain.
Yeah.
So from when I was 17, 18, I was on my own.
All right.
So all them decisions I was making off the pitch were sort of self-inflicted, really.
Yeah.
I didn't really have anyone to sort of...
Hold you back.
I knew what was right and what was wrong.
Yeah.
But you still make them silly decisions.
Sometimes a bit of peer pressure helps, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, you haven't got to go back. I think I could have been the same. If I didn't go back to the mum and dad and go, oh, you're not going out.
Yeah. But if there's no one telling you...
If there's no one really there, you go, oh.
You're left to your own devices.
You can drift.
Did you grow up in a pub?
And you think you know better.
Because your dad's got a pub now.
Yeah, but not that age.
Nah.
We've got to come out when 7, 8.
Yeah. I was there for a long time, But you see it all in a pub. But I loved it. I loved it. I loved the environment. I've probably grown up around older people.
When you're in training with all like Bergkamp and Henri and all stuff like that, obviously you're quite a confident, loud, sort of like life and soul sort of character.
Yeah.
So did you find yourself being a bit quiet in that environment, or you still was loud and...
No, I don't think I've ever changed, I've got to be honest. Yeah, I've always been...
I would know my place in that group.
I wouldn't be outspoken, I wouldn't...
Because if Henri give you a bit of banter or a bit of shit, could you give it back or do you have to hold it back a bit?
Yeah, you could to an extent. You know, with the foreign boys, I would sometimes the humour, sometimes the sarcasm and stuff like that. You don't want to say things that they might take the wrong way. Whereas if it was Ray Parlour or Franny Jeffers at the Ted Saint, you could sort of have a laugh back.
Well, about Keown, he's quite serious.
Well, I used to run with Martin, yeah.
Martin
Keown?
I can't say that, can you?
That's just so odd.
You're Martin Keown.
He's a stifler on the box. Is he all right?
He's an absolute diamond.
He's a
diamond of a man. Yeah, family man. He always wanted reassurance. Which is crazy because he was an England international. Yeah. He used to sleep on the floor, didn't he?
Did he?
So we'd be standing in the Marriott. Or,
why did he sleep on the floor?
We'd be standing in the up Canary Wharf, and I'd have like the big king size, and he'd be on the floor on a mattress because he used to say about his back. He used to say, I want to sleep on the floor. He used to wake up every morning before a big game and go, oh, my hamstring's a bit tight today. He was a bit of a panic, a bit anxious.
It
was fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
And he was asking me, how did I train today? I trained well today, didn't I?
Really? Martin,
I've just come out of the U team. Don't ask me. I'm not going to tell Martin Keown he had a beast.
And I'm a GK.
Yeah,
a bit of a shit one.
So what about that tackle, mate? That was a good tackle, wasn't it? I go, Martin, that was an unbelievable tackle. You try and keep him upbeat.
Yeah.
But But yeah, Martin was brilliant. He was good for me, really. He was good. And then I run with... I
sounds
with,
like you were good with, for him.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe I was, yeah.
Was it... Because obviously, like, the whole Arsenal culture of that Tuesday club getting drunk with the title, was it like Adam, Merce and all that? And it Wenger sort of changed it, the culture a bit. But was there still any of that left over of that?
I think, yeah, I think the pub culture sort of left the game, really, and then the club culture come in.
Yeah.
So that was sort of like the transition that I was going through, sort of. I'm the opposite now. I'd rather go to a boozer and have a few pints rather than go mental and go to a club.
Yeah.
And at the time, I think it was your Funky Birders, your China White, your CC clubs, and your whatever.
I was talking about how, like, you know, that, the culture at the club. So when you come in and stop people going out drinking, not what you were your favourite nightclubs.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically,
because it was such a strong culture of going to the pub. All stop. I didn't know if there was any hangover of that, of like Keown and Parler still doing it, or did they just completely drop it?
I think it was more the younger players.
Really?
I think it was more the younger players. Well, certainly, like, well, I used to go out. I didn't drink. I didn't touch alcohol until I was probably in my early
20s. Really? Yeah, and growing in the pub.
I didn't touch a drop. And I think that's probably seeing growing up probably.
Too much.
Same as me, that.
Too much.
Really, yeah.
I think Jim's probably straight. You don't drink nowadays, do you, Jim?
Yeah, I don't mind one now. I think what it is, when I used to go out in a pub and you see all these weirdos, the way it used to affect him, you go, fuck that.
Don't want that.
It used to scare you as a kid a little bit. I think that's what it is. And
that's
it's
exactly
weird.
It, Jim. Yeah, you're right.
I was a late drinker.
Yeah, I remember that.
We're making up for it now, Stacks.
We had a go.
Where was we last time?
We was in Beckenham, weren't we?
Beckenham, yeah.
That was quiet.
Yeah. How was it?
It was carnage as always.
Yeah, it's chaos. Well, I used to live around there when I was at Millwall. And my pal, good mate of mine, Alan Dunn, he lives over that way.
That's right, I've seen Danny in there.
How was Millwall? Were the fans like Millwall?
I loved it there, I just loved the Millwall punters.
Yeah.
It helped that I played well and had a decent season there. I think we just missed out on the playoffs.
Yeah.
But I loved it. They're a passionate bunch, ain't they?
Yeah.
Do you remember him? Danny does Millwall TV.
Yeah.
Yeah? Any good?
What, the crossbar challenge at half time? Do you remember that?
I did, yeah. I think I've hit the crossbar three times. I think it's unheard of. Yeah. I've done it on that soccer AM as well a couple of times. I can't hit me centre forward at the minute after. Keep kicking it out of the stand.
Just aiming for the crossbar to try and get the rebound.
My horizontal.
Yeah.
I'll find you.
Should get the two wingers to hold him up.
What's this about? Didn't you sell one of your tickets to a drunk bloke, one of your players' tickets at Arsenal?
So you
get an allocation of tickets to sort of for friends and family.
Well, you get a paddock. It's not even that. If you play for Arsenal, you get a paddock ticket. And now,
what's that mean?
So on the old marble steps, the famous marble steps at Ivory, it was like behind the dugout. There used to be a little section for staff only and players.
Okay.
And it was any of the first team players that weren't involved would sit there. The youth team would sit there.
Yeah.
All the youth team staff and sort of whoever else was sort of up in the hierarchy at the club would sort of sit behind the dugout. It was a bit of a privilege, really. And then, anyway, we were there. Half time was our ritual. We'd go outside, youth team, big burger, bottle of Coke, have a laugh outside, bag of sweets, and we'd come back in. And I was playing Liverpool. And there's this Scouser, he was all over the gaff. He could hardly stand up, the fella. And I thought, he's going to stick it on us here. He's come up to us and went, hey, when you got a ticket? I went, yeah, I have, funny enough. I said, how much you got? He went, how much do you want? I said, well, look, it's half time. I'd normally sell it for one. I said, you can have it for 50. He went, I'll have it. So I've given him the paddock. He's like, where do I go with this? So I said, right, you go up there about 300 yards. I'm trying to send him as close to Water Lane as I can. Thinking, just get him away from this stadium. And once I've got the 50, I'm in and I'm done.
Yeah.
So all the boys are going, that's bang out of order. Some of them are going, that's a top move. Like, bearing in mind, we're on 50 quid a week, so I've just doubled my dough. After tax, cash ready, I'm thinking. So I've sent him the other side of the stadium. So we're all sitting down, we're watching the second half. Now, bearing in mind, this is like, to get into the paddock, you have to come out the tunnel. We're watching the game.
You're all in the paddock waiting to see if he's going to come in?
No. I think he's never going to come in. There's security on the door. There's no way this pissed Gausser is getting in the marble steps. You just can't do it. It's never been done. So we're sitting down and I could just see the top of someone's head loitering around the tunnel thinking, is that fucking Scouser?
So now
I'm proper having a panic up. So he's now walked down a tunnel. He's done... the 180 degree turn. He's looking at supporters, thinking.
So he's nearly on the pitch.
He's he's dugout. He's in between two dugouts. Gerard Houllier was in one dugout. He's almost had to have a second. He's had a double take at Gerard. He's given the old. He's looked at him. He's sort of. The next minute, security's all over him. This is down. This is pitch side.
Yeah.
Where's your ticket? He's pulled out the paddock ticket, my paddock ticket. Now the security are thinking, hold on a minute, he has actually got a genuine paddock ticket. Yeah. We can't sling this geezer out. So they've escorted him through, but I'm in his seat. So now there's no seat. Now he's got nowhere to sit. So I'm half off the seat, half on the floor, thinking, I've got to get this fella in here to sit down and sort of half tell him that you just can't move. You've just got to sit down and just don't say anything.
That Liverpool fan
I've
in
got him in sitting
are.
Down.
So he's like sitting next to you?
He's sitting next to me with all the players. Liam Brady's looking over. He knows I'm up to something.
And he's in charge of the youth
team. He knows. So I'm thinking, right, I'm going to fucking get it when I get in on Monday. So he sat down. I said, listen, do us a favour. Don't fucking move. Don't stand up. Just don't do anything. He's gone, yeah, no problem. Next minute, the boys are throwing sweets at him from the youth team. So they're trying to wind him up.
So I'm thinking, if he could stand there at this point.
Yeah, there's a few like leftovers that aren't involved. So I'm waiting for him to stand up and stick it on one of the youth team. So I've had to turn around and say to the youth team, look, you're fucking going to kill me. You're turning, do you know what I mean? I'm going to get slowered. So next minute, fucking someone's at the crossbar for Liverpool, he jumps up, I've gone like that, fucking get down here, what are you doing? I was thinking, if Liverpool score, he's going to go ballistic, he's going to go on it. So he's at the bar.
He's only had a big kiss.
Yeah. So it ended up, the game fizzled out. I think, I don't know if it finished 0-0, I don't know what it was. But anyway, now I've got a job on my hands trying to get this fucker out. I've got to get him out of the stadium.
Yeah.
So I'm walking back down the tunnel, but I've got my hand on his coattail, thinking he ain't going nowhere. So as you go down the tunnel library, there used to be a place called the Halfway House where there was the media little centre and there was a bit of food, teas and coffees after the game. Someone said, oh, Stacky, you got 2 minutes? I said, yeah, bear with us. I said, what's up? Ask me a question. I've turned back round, the scouser's gone. I'm like, no, down the tunnel, he's gone.
Free food.
Well, hopefully, he's fucked off. Hopefully, he's gone straight down the steps. So I'm waiting in the marble steps, trying to get a few of the boys together to get the train home. Next minute, there's two security guards who got this scouser. They've got him, his hands behind his back. He's tried to get in the changing rooms.
No.
He's tried to get in the changing rooms. So he's now in the players' bit. So he's come out, he's trying to talk to me, going, all right, mate, and all that. I'm like, fuck off, mate. Yeah, don't talk to me. I don't even know. They're going, do you know him? I went, fuck. I said, I've never fucking seen him. So they've thrown him out of the stadium, and I just remember shitting myself all weekend. Yeah. Like, I was waiting for the phone to go, and it being Liam Brady, and thinking, I've got to swallow this Monday when I get in there.
Did nothing happen?
Yeah, Liam's pulled me on the Monday. He said, listen, what was the crack of the weekend with that fellow? Like, was he a friend of yours and all that? And I said, nah. I said, listen, I've sold him a ticket for 50 quid. Yeah, I've done it as a laugh, but also to try and nick a cut the quid. I said, and it's just,
he didn't think he was gonna get in.
It's just backfired on me, do you know what I mean? And he went, all right. He said, no problem, son. He said, look, we can't be having any of that again, you know what I mean? This is Arsenal. So that was that put to bed. But yeah, it was fine at the time, yeah. That's got me in a bit of trouble.
Did you ever get in any trouble with Wenger, like, when you was playing?
Not really, no. You just behave yourself, didn't you? A club. We're not in trouble with the boss, really, but for being stupid, I was injured at the time, and Franny and Ray were both injured. So we had sort of had the medical department, first team, youth team. I was in the youth team at the time, and I'm icing my ankle. Someone else is doing something else, and Ray and Franny have come through just to have a chuckle, really. And then we started playing games, and Ray just said to me, do you reckon you could get your head in that bucket and keep it in there for a minute?
So it was an ice bucket.
Yeah. Like, ain't a bucket of water, it's a fucking ice bucket. So I said, I don't know. I said, I've done some things. I said, but I think that might be a bit too
strong.
Rich, yeah.
Did you have a bit of a reputation for doing things like this in little challenges?
Yeah, silly thing. I was doing it to make people laugh.
Yeah.
And it was all good fun and it was harmless. No one was getting up apart from myself most of the time. He said, don't worry. He said, we'll tap it once the minute's up. We'll give you a tap on the side. I thought, I'll definitely do that. So Ray went, I'll give you a oner. He said, Franny will give you a oner as well. So I'm thinking, again, I'm on no money.
Yeah. Like,
here's another couple of quid. So I thought, I'll go for that. So I've stuck my head in this ice bucket. I'm on all fours. I've got my head in this ice bucket on the floor.
What, full blast in?
Yeah, the whole thing. The youth team physio was in there.
Anywhere, right?
Couldn't control the physio room. But we'd done anything in the. We just done what we wanted to. We used to do, you know, when you used to put the pads on and try and turn it up.
Oh, mate, they're blinding, weren't they? Electric chair, innit? Yeah, it's horrible.
So I've stuck me in there and I've done it for the minute. I think it was over. In the end, they're leaving me in there for as long as I can, really. I've pulled my head out. Fuck it, my head was blue. My lips had gone purple. I couldn't talk where my face was so numb. Next minute, fucking Gary Lewin's come fucking steaming through, crashing through doors, pushing people out of the way. I'm on the floor. I'm like, fuck it. I'm brown bread. He's got warm towels on me. He's trying to rub my face.
So people have been calling for help.
Ray Parler and Fanny are on the floor.
Look like Smurf was having a facelift.
Ray's on the floor, fucking in stitches. Fanny can't get his head round it. I'm close to hypothermia, nearly fucking dying. For 200 quid, and I think I did get back to the gaffer. I think they got back to the gaffer, to be fair, and it was one of them again, like, what's he fucking doing? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Why would you do that? But
did you get the money, though?
I got the money. England physio, by the way, rubbing me face, trying to get the youth team player back to life.
But he's well funny, Ray, isn't he?
Oh, Ray's different class, yeah.
I do some things in there, and he just kills me, man.
No, oh, like big character.
Yeah.
Big character. He was core to that. He was so important to that group, really, because he was sort of the bridge between, you know, the older players and the younger players, and he was great with the foreign boys that came in, and they all loved him because he was such good fun. But not just good fun, he was a fucking top player. And I think he embedded the sort of...
He bridged a lot at that
club, didn't he? He did, in the mentality and the work ethic that was required to succeed, because some players would come in and they just didn't have that mentality. Your FA Cup game, you didn't have Ray Parler playing an FA Cup game, you could easily go and get beat 2-3 away from home for a lower league side. But with players like him in a team, that was never going to happen because of what he was all about.
I loved it when he scored in the FA Cup final, so it was a nice moment, because it's always all about the Henri's and Bergkamp's, but Ray Parler from Nigeria is banging it in the top. I think that's
there's another story about that cup final, isn't there? But I don't know how. I've been told this is from a good source. I was at the game with my missus. We got the coach there with all the players and that. And
just sell her a ticket.
Ray was partial to a bet, wasn't he? Yeah, sold her a ticket. Ray was partial to a bet, and so was Franny at the time. And Franny weren't involved. He was a load of Scousers behind me. Fucking the Scousers and tickets at me. So Franny had all his mates behind me, and there was a bet before the cup final, which was called Massage Parlour. And I weren't aware of this at the time, because I would have been on it. And it was for Ray Parler to receive treatment within 90 minutes.
Is that right?
Yeah. So obviously Ray's on it, and Ray's thinking, fuck, Ray don't get injured for nothing, does he? You could fight, you'd have to shoot Ray for the physio to come on. So I didn't know this, and it was about 20, I don't think it was that, I mean, it was about 5 minutes to go.
Yeah.
And like, Ray hadn't been down. Next minute, there's a bit of an innocuous one, like the ball sort of gone near him, and Ray's fallen over. And I just remember Gary Lewin come running on, and these 20 Scousers behind me were fucking jumping up and down as if someone had just scored. I'm thinking, have I fucking missed something or what?
What's
going on here? So Ray's got treatment, they run up and they're all like, fucking lovely, whatever's up, blah. And it was only after the game that I found out that because he'd received treatment, it was like fucking 2-1 or 3-1, they've all sort of lumped on. And they fucking all nicked a few quid out of it. Like, I'm fucking gutted that I'm sticking my head in an ice bucket for 200 quid and he ain't letting me know. So I can get on it.
So Ray's known that everyone's put a bet on.
That was back in the day, though, when there was no betting regulations in place and nothing like that. And a lot of these people, I'm not saying Ray was on it by any means, but I'm saying all these Scousers behind me, maybe Ray was injured, who knows? But I know these Scousers that were behind
Brilliant. You did the ice bucket thing before it was fashionable. Ice bucket challenge. But what's about? Didn't you hold an iron to your shoulder?
You've got this one from someone else. Oh, was this Blakey?
Yeah, Blakey. Yeah. Ben Little.
Yeah, this well.
What did he tell us this?
So what's?
Yeah, well, I was. DHL. So DHL, obviously, a big courier firm, ain't they? And my mates were all working for DHL at the time, and they do a tournament in Belgium every summer. And I was going to say to my pals, you've got to get me on board. It's like all expenses paid for. Just get me on as a coach, goalie coach. And they went, all right, leave it with us. So I'm up in I'm up in Nottingham to do a training session for DHL goalies. And I've ended up going up with the boys and that, and I've ended up meeting up with a couple of pals of mine, Lee Canaville and David Noble, and ended up going back to Cano's house, had a couple of drinks, and obviously before the boys have gone out, they've obviously ironed all their gear in the kitchen, gone back, had a couple of drinks, and the iron's just staring at me. I'm just thinking, I've got to do something with this iron. So my pal's got his top off, walking around the kitchen, giving it like big time Charlie. I thought, right, he's got to go in a minute. So I've just tickled the old iron, the Zanussi. I've just stuck the Zanussi on. to cotton. I've just won it to maxed cotton. Out. Get it on wool.
Cotton.
So it's a full blast. I thought, right, it's waiting there just to warm up. I've just sort of put my finger on it and gone, oh, wow, that's ready. So I've walked up to him and I've just gone, bollock, straight on his back. I've just smelt it. I've gone, oh, no.
Oh, fucking hell.
I thought, that's long enough. So I've took it off.
You just think that's long enough, that's long.
Yeah.
Smelling
so
cooking.
I've took it off and they've just, like, he's lost half his back on it. I'm like, oh, no, I think I've kept on for too long. And then he was like, because we've all had a few to drink, he was like, oh, he said, oh, it's starting to hurt a little bit. And I started feeling a bit guilty. I thought, oh, that was maybe bang out of order.
Yeah.
So maybe. I said to Cano, look, that's out of order, mate. I said, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do it. Like, I didn't realise it was going to end up like that. I said, look, you can do me if you want. I felt like a gentleman, like, you can do me, you can do me back. I said, let me just get me top off. So I've put my top off.
You're helping him out.
And I've let him do me. So my back's proper fucked. Like, I mean, we both, it's iron, you can see the iron on the back of your back.
Is it still there now? Have you got like an iron shaped scar?
Yeah, I've got a faint scar. Yeah, faint scar. This is going back over 10 years ago. But if it was, you could see it. It was obvious. When I went on holiday, it stood out because the rest of the back would tan for some reason, and the iron print went. So you could just see it every summer. Every summer I just had this outline of like fucking an iron on it.
A pale iron mark.
And I remember going, I'm thinking I'm a goalie. I thought, how the fuck am I going to train with my back in this sort of state? So I've gone back into training the next day and I'm thinking, I got into the idea, right, I've just got to go out and just dive on it because the scab has just got to come off.
Oh, fucking
because
hell.
I knew every day I'm going to have to throw myself around and I was in agony and it took fucking, I remember being, I couldn't sit back in my car after training because it used to stick to my t-shirt. So what I'd done, I used to wear this one t-shirt. So I cut a hole, like an iron, in the shape of an iron, out my t-shirt. And I used to sit in the car with the windows down to try and dry it out. After training.
Cheers, Connor.
some roof down. So I used to sit in the front seat, and I remember there was a the press day on a Friday was at Reading, and all the press have seen me walk out the fucking the changing room to my car with a big hole in the back of my t-shirt with a massive scab underneath it. So someone said to like someone in the Reading team, "What's he done with his back? Like, what's he done there?" And then it was like Chinese whispers over a card game and all that, which is rubbish because it ended up making a paper, the local paper.
And that was while Arsenal were going unbeaten.
No, I was at Reading at the time. We were going unbeaten at the time. We had only lost one that season. We ended up winning the league, but we didn't play much.
Didn't you have a car boot stall as well when you was at Arsenal?
Yeah. Again, that was another sort of source of income for me the tax man didn't know about. Jim will tell you, Jim knows the crack. You're going to Boozer, there's someone who's got DVDs, he's got bags, belts, wallet, shoes, tickets for the theatre, football tickets, whatever you like. And we used to have this one fella in our pub, a fella called Noski, and he used to buy wholesale Gucci's, brown, black, leather, suede, gold buckle, silver buckle. And at the time, I was wearing Gucci's at school when I was 15. I had
that
a pair
no
of Gucci loafers on.
No socks. Real ones, it's got to be no
winner. I'm sort of playing football in the Gucci's. They're like 220 quid a piece. You know what I mean? So I used to buy
those kids at my school wore Gucci's at school.
I used to buy bundles off this fella, like wallets,
are they
bags,
real or snide
belts? Oh, listen.
Real,
they,
but...
They were real. Of course they're real. Yeah, so all snide. So I get them in a car, I load them up, and I drive into the training ground, and all the youth team, some of the youth team boys used to buy, you know, belts, bags, wallets. Couldn't afford the, you know, the real deal, so it was like the next best thing.
And if also, if you play at Arsenal, you got a pair, people will think they're real anyway.
Yeah, of course they did. Of course they did. So I remember coming in, I used to have an old Citroen Saxo, and they used to just fucking pop the boot open. Monday mornings, it used to be like fucking Western International Market. It was just shoe boxes on the floor, there's fucking paper bags over there. And I remember one day, one of the first team boys had looked over and thought, fucking, what's going on over there? Got about 20 people around the motor trying on shoes. Big Dave Seaman's got a bag on his shoulder. I ended up knocking out so much gear. Yeah. But we had a Christmas do coming up in the Landmark Hotel. So obviously Christmas presents, all the lads are going lovely, belt, purse for the bag, for the missus, I'll get loafers on. So we've turned up at the Landmark Hotel. But before this had happened, Liam Brady shouted at the window and gave it the old stacky. He went, this ain't fucking Spitalfields Market or Camden Market, whatever it is. He went, shut that boot and come in here and see me. So he knocked that on the head straight away. Yeah. He went, this is the Arsenal Football Club. It's not a fucking market. So I've gone, oh, fuck, OK, no problem. So we've turned up at the Landmark Hotel.
Did you get told by Brady?
I had a few warnings.
Did he like you, though?
I think he liked me because I was... One, I was a good player for starters. That helped, but I think he enjoyed the fact that I was good around the place.
It wasn't anything awful.
Of course it was. And I remember getting to the Landmark Hotel, and obviously my missus has got a bag. She thinks she's the only one with this bag. Fuck.
So is it all the wives and girlfriends?
Kid you not, mate. There must have been 30 Gucci bags at the Christmas though. Everyone has told their missus they've gone up the West End and bought it. So there's 30 black Gucci bags, there's 20 black Gucci wallets on the bar and on the tables at dinner. All the fellas have got the same shoes on. It looks like Arsenal were sponsored by Gucci at the time. So that's brilliant. I think a few of the lads got caught out. But you're getting Gucci gear for knocked off prices. It just made more sense as a youth team player, didn't it? And nick a few quid at the time as well.
Brilliant.
Dave laughing about it though at the thing.
I think it was more embarrassing for the first team players that are on thousands and they buy bags for 60 quid.
They could just do it anyway, because they could go, I don't
listen, with them it weren't the money, they just couldn't be asked going uptown because they'd probably get loads of people wanting to talk to them, wanting pictures and whatever else, whereas in the youth team it was sort of I didn't have 300 quid for a bag, do you know what I mean?
You played in Finland for a bit as well.
Belgium,
did you go to Finland?
No. Oh, Finland, no, that was, nah. Been there pre-season, but...
Oh, was it pre-season you was in Finland?
Yeah.
The story about trying to get home.
You had to
make your own way home from...
Yeah.
A night out, was it?
Night out, yeah. So obviously, Jim tell you, pre-season tours, they're like... graft, but it's nice to have a carrot at the end of it, innit? You want that night out to sort of hang on to, because you do work your nuts off. It's like 2-3 sessions a day, and to be fair, that's one thing I would say in my career, as much as I laugh as I've had, then the stories I've got to tell, I fucking work my nuts off.
And
that's always been a good trait of mine. But I have also,
but when you're at work, you're fully professional,
I've enjoyed socialising, whether it be out for food or whatever it is. But when we got to Finland, we've had sort of 6-7 days hard in a training camp in the mountains, nothing to do, not a beer in sight, nothing. So we've managed to get this night out. So we've gone out into town. We're all on the piss. We've seen a few off. In the end, it's just me and this physio, Maxi.
Is this at Arsenal?
This is at Plymouth.
Plymouth, okay.
Plymouth, yeah. Now, Maxi's top man. He's a big character, a big personality. but he was a member of staff. And I'd only just signed for Plymouth. A lot of the lads had gone. Me and Max ended up in this... It was a strippers, to be fair. And
strippers, to be fair.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it.
Innocent is a late night drink, isn't it? So
only place open.
Yeah, well, it was, to be fair. So we've gone in there and we was having a laugh. And for whatever reason... we've got slung out. I think me or Maxi may have thrown an apple or a bit of fruit at someone in there.
It's a fruit bowl in the strippers.
Yeah. As mad as it was under bar, as mad as it sounds. So we've been asked to leave. So as we're leaving, I just thought, oh, this is fucking weird. I thought they're going to charge us to leave here, like they're all over us. Like these, like the doormen, they did have the arsehole, and I thought, we're either going to get fucking hiding, or they're going to want us to give them a couple of quid to get out of this gaff. So I said, Maxie, come on, fuck it, we'll go out this way. So we've gone out the back door, but as you go out the back door, there's a cloakroom. So I've seen all these jackets, I think they're the doormen's. So I've stuck on about fucking 8-9 jackets. I look like the Michelin man. So I thought, all these big puffer jackets, I'm thinking, right, fuck it, we'll take these. So I ran out of this club, I've got about 8 jackets on, I'm fucking running, I'm thinking, if these cans get me, I'm going to get the biggest hiding. Not only have I not paid them to get out, but I've got all their gear on. So I'm running down the road, sort of got round the bend, I said, right, that'll do us, just have a breather. So I thought, well, didn't know where we're going, I don't even know if we had any money on us. As we're walking back, there's these two old boys that are just doing the road. They're like digging the road up on the big digger, this fucking big, every bit of every machinery. So I said to Maxie, fuck this, I ain't walking no more. I said, come on, we'll take the digger. He went, you can't take the digger, what are you fucking doing? I said, fuck off. I said, jump in the digger. He went, you're pissed. I went, I know. I said, come on, let's do it. He went, no, I'm not jumping in the digger. I went, right, fuck it, I am. So I've got all these jackets on, I'm in this big fucking bit of machinery, and I'm fucking flying down this high street. And there's all I can see is these two old boys with high vis on and high that's fucking running after me. Now I don't know where I'm going. I'm just going down this high street. I'm probably going out of my way. Don't know how to stop it. I'm fucking thinking, what am I going to do here? As I took the foot off the accelerator, thankfully, it just started slowing down. But, so I'm still moving. It's still plugging. But I thought, I've got to jump. I've got to get out of here.
As it's going towards Woolworths.
That's it's going towards a bus stop, but everyone would have been all right. I'm sure they survived. So I've just jumped off the digger and just had it on my toes before these two fellas
Where
caught me.
Where did the digger
go? I don't know. Who knows?
Okay.
It's still going.
We're going to have to check that before we broadcast this. Yeah. Make sure no one's been killed by a digger.
I've lost Maxie. I remember finding my way back to the hotel. I've just got my nut down straight away. I've woke up in the morning. And it fucking looks like the jacket section out of Debenhams. there's all these jackets on the floor.
What about in Belgium when you punch the fan?
Yeah, so I was on loan in Belgium from Arsenal.
He's got some, innit?
Yeah.
Have you seen the video?
You got to show,
Jimmy the video.
Yeah, it's on. Do you know what?
Can you tell me his story first?
I was on loan from Arsenal, so there was obviously four of us over there on loan. We'd gone over there to play some games, and it's a derby, so we're playing Antwerp. They're sort of probably 10k away from us, and Royal Antwerp are notorious over there. Them and Anderlecht, you know, they are nutcases, and we're playing in the game. I think we're winning probably 2-0, whatever it was, 2-1. This was for Beveren, a team called Beveren over in Belgium. I'm on loan. I'm only about 19, 20 at the time. And we're winning the game. It's 10 minutes to go, let's say, and there's all sorts coming at me. I mean, lighters, miniature bottles, stones, coins, everything. So I thought, fuck it. I said, I'm going to throw one back. I thought, if I get it once more, this is going straight back in that stand. So one of them hit me. I've turned around, picked it up and lobbed it back. I'm thinking, they can't get through. These are like cast iron gates, old school gates with like the big spikes on top, thinking I'm safe as houses. Yeah. Then I looked at the geezer who was on the door, on the big gate. I think he was asleep. He must have been about 70-odd. If they get through this gate, he's got no chance. So I carried on playing. Next minute, I've turned around, there's about 40 people running towards me. But there's these two geezers that stand out. One of them's probably 6'4", big leather jacket, DMs on. He's walking towards me, he's swearing at me, and he's ready to kill me. And then out of nowhere, this little old boy runs from behind him. Big curly Barnet just sort of sprints behind him, runs up to me, he's going to try and drop me here. So he sort of swung at me, I've sort of moved out of the way of it, and I've just gone pop, just stuck one straight on his. I've tried to hit him one day, so I've missed him, and he's come back round, and I thought I'd bang him again, so I banged him. I've put him on his arse, and the big lump that first come on initiating it all, going, I want some, he's now gone, no thanks. He's So he's now walking backwards and thinking, do I go and iron out the big lump as well? And I thought, nah, I better leave it. Next minute, there was security, there was dogs, police, horses, riot shields, everything.
You can see when you're punching like the little one, you've got your hand like that as if you're saying, hang on a second, I'm coming back to you.
Have you seen
there
it?
I've seen it. It's funny, they used to have a lot more. There was a video on it, it must have got taken down, but at one stage it had like over half a million like, views on it. Yeah, it was.
Didn't you get banned though?
Well, no, what it was, they didn't want me to play in the away leg.
That's brilliant.
At Antwerp. Because we still had to go and play them at their stadium.
Oh, right, that was at your ground, yeah.
So,
who was this for? Did you at Arsenal?
Yeah, I was on loan, yeah. Beveren. So this is for Beveren. Like, Yaya Toure played in that game. And Ebouay.
Really?
Yeah, Manu Ebouay.
I'll tell you a funny story about Yaya.
It's criminal.
Oh, look, he's had a right go there, isn't it? Yeah. One's kicked up. Where that?
He's proper run on that little one, and then he's given it such a big entrance.
After that, I kid you not, it just like blew up. It went mental. I woke up the next day, and there was a pair of boxing gloves on my apartment door from one of the local supporters, and it was a real small town, like close-knit community, like real football place.
Yeah, you must have had the fans on side straight away. It helped.
I mean, I sort of was doing pretty well anyway on the pitch, but there wasn't much publicity, you know. But I was online from Arsenal, and not many people knew about it because I was a young lad. But all of a sudden, it was national news, and everyone knew there was a goalie on loan from Arsenal. So that helped raise my profile a little bit as well. And I'd done a talk show over there. Jean-Marie Paff, who was voted world goalkeeper in, I think, 87, possibly played in a World Cup, won the Bundesliga. Cheers, Jim. he used to do a talk show, like a fly on the wall.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he used to do like a fly on the wall. It was like a family show about his family. He's a superstar over there. And I was invited on the show, had dinner with him. He saved a penalty in the World Cup. We talked football. We'd done this, we'd done that, and met his family and so on. And I met Sergio, the Eurovision Song Contest winner or performer for Belgium. I was on his show over there. So it did it. I mean, it created a lot
in Belgium,
of publicity.
It was, like a big, yeah,
it was massive.
National
it was
news.
Massive. National news, yeah. So then after that, it was... yeah, I was just a mini celebrity, if you like.
Yeah, it's a classic football who dropped tenner.
Hold on, I only normally have fathers on me. must be the wife's. So then after that, it got me a lot of exposure, to be fair, which was good. It was good.
And Yaya Toure was in that team.
Yeah, it was funny. So, like, me, Steve Sidwell, Halsey and Chills. So we had four apartments over there. Yeah. But we all just wanted to live together.
Oh, was yous all over there?
Yeah. We all went on loan, yeah. Just to get some games. Looking back here, it's probably the best thing. At that time, it's the best experience I had. And then when I come back, I went on loan to Mill. So I wouldn't have probably gone to Mill had I not played them games beforehand. So it was a good grounding for me in terms of playing football and a culture away in a different country. It was brilliant just to see the way things were done. But yeah, it was only a kid. At one stage, I was the only white lad in the team. We had 10 Ivorians and me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it was a way that Arsenal and other clubs, to be fair, could get players into
the EU.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so we had a partnership with a soccer place in the Ivory Coast in Abidjan, where a lot of the players were coming from. And Jean-Marc Guillou, who was friends with Arsene Wenger, built up a relationship, a connection to then get players, i.e. Kolo Touré, Ebouay, into Arsenal Football Club. And Yaya was there. Now, listen, he is without doubt the best player in terms of ability I've ever seen.
Really?
And David Noble is...
He's
probably on a par with Nobes, but obviously Nobes hasn't had the career that Yaya has. But Yaya at 16, what he was doing at sort of 16, 17 was just frightening. Physically, he was better than everyone and bigger than it. He played centre half, central midfield. He played up front. I was waiting for him to stick the gloves on at one stage because he could play anywhere.
Yeah,
and all the Ivorians were staying together, and we used to meet in town for a bit of food and stuff. And all the English boys, we used to have a laugh. They were younger than us, and we were sort of seen as the older lads. They probably look up to us because we were playing football at Arsenal.
Yeah, true.
And it used to be fun. It used to be a big water fountain in Beveren Town Centre. And I used to say, watch this, we'll get one or two of the boys in this fountain here. It's a big Yaya tour, right? I'm like, started throwing euros, one euro coins in this big water fountain. It's freezing cold. And I knew Yaya would go and get it. It's all right. He's on $2,500 a week. I've got jumping in water fountains in town centres for €1. Can you imagine that?
Brilliant.
Wait, I wish we could turn back inside. I might go to Manchester and see if he wants to throw a oneer in a fountain up there. bring the armbands up there again. But you look at the career he's gone on.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
He was in the fountain. He couldn't wait at first for €1.
Really?
He's on $200 a week now. Yeah, it's crazy.
That's funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
Good luck,
our careers have changed. It's a bit similar to Fabregas. I made my debut with him. I'm at Eastleigh now.
Do you still keep in contact with him?
Yeah, I follow him.
I follow him on Twitter,
that's about it.
Does he follow you back?
See him on Match of the Day a couple of times. Nah, do you know what? I'm not busy like that. As much as I'm on Twitter and Instagram and stuff like that.
Don't leave me alone.
Yeah.
What's the story about Glasgow when you got bored on a motorway?
Yeah, Christmas Day was... So I was with Wolves, and I had 2 days up there. Big Mick McCarthy gives a couple of days off. So he gives us the Sunday, I think we went up there Saturday night, I don't know what it was anyway, a couple of days off, but he wanted us in when we got back from Glasgow, straight from the airport, into the training ground to have a little tickle, little jog, just get the shit out of us, I suppose, from where we've been drinking. And he knows the crack, Mick, it's fancy dress, it is what it is, it's a Christmas doing it. So everyone's sort of half hungover, lifeless, if you like, on the way back. Everyone's just in bits, wants to get the red down on this minibus that's picked us up from the airport. So we're going back from Birmingham, back to Wolverhampton training ground. Thinking, oh, this is just a proper downer. Everyone's like monged out, not having a chat. Well, fucking, I'm livening this up. So we're sitting in traffic, everyone's sitting there, and I've just had a little look out the window, and there's this tow truck that's got a Harley on the back of it, like a van, and it's on like a little trailer. I thought, fuck it, I'm getting out, I'm getting on this Harley. So I've opened up the minibus door and I've jumped on the back of the Harley.
So is this in like motorway?
This is on the M1.
But it's traffic.
This is slow. We're at a standstill at the minute.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking we're at a standstill, but it'd be a laugh. Just, I don't know, it's just fucking something to come in my head. So I've jumped on the Harley, I've made out, I'm pulling the accelerator back, I'm making a fucking few sound effects and whatever else that no one can hear me, but I'm on it, giving it a big one. Next minute, fucking traffic's gone. It's fucking cleared up. We're now fucking moving. I'm like, can I get off? No, we're going too fast. I have to get back on the Harley. So I'm back on the Harley. I'm on the Harley now. We're doing probably 30, 40 mile an hour, which ain't jumpable.
The
boys on the minibus are now going, they're going out there like, they're laughing. They want me to just keep going. They want me to end up in Blackpool. They're desperate for me not to slow down. So they're all roaring up. And at the time, there was no videos and all that, because no doubt, that's on the video, sacked, whatever.
Yeah.
So we ended up, we've gone probably a junction on the M1.
Yeah. Does the bloke who's driving
he's got,
the
ain't got a clue. No, he ain't got a clue, because he can't see the Harley. He just can't, because it's obviously the way it's positioned on the truck. Yeah, he just can't see it. So we've ended up going, we're near on a junction. I'm thinking, fucking hell, I'm missing the junction, I'm missing training. I'm going to get an absolute, I'm going to get an earful from the gaffer.
You don't even know where you're going to end up.
I don't know where I'm ending up.
Was the gaffer on your coach?
No, he weren't on it, but he was waiting at the training ground. And then I think in the end, I don't know what's happened, but thank Christ, the fucking geezer slowed down or stopped for some reason. He's always nearly come to a stop. And then he was in the middle lane as well. So I'm jumping from the middle lane into the outside lane to try and get on the bus.
I'd have loved to have been with him.
I managed to get back on without getting nicked or injured, which was handy.
It's quality. Yeah, you were at Barnet with Edgar Davids.
Yeah,
sounds like, I'm fascinated by him because he sounds nuts. He gave himself the number one shirt when he was manager. He got sent off like almost every game he played as well.
Yeah, do you know what? People ask me that. Like, listen, like, you can't take anything away from when he first joined. We hadn't won in 13 games, and his form from when he took the job to when he left, or till the end of that season, we would have been in the playoffs. So in terms of what he'd done for us on the pitch, you can't question what he'd done as a manager, no matter how he went about doing it.
Yeah.
Because he must have still been an amazing player.
No, he weren't an amazing player.
But he was,
do you know, the biggest thing that stood out was his mentality.
Yeah.
He was just a winner.
Yeah.
He wanted to win everything. He wanted to be the best in the keep balls. He wanted to be the best at the finishing. He just had the right mentality, which is no coincidence that he's won what he has and achieved what he's, you know, what he's done. But it was the way he managed it and the way he managed individuals and the way he spoke to certain players.
Did he have a way of playing or not really?
What's that, mate?
Did he have a way of playing, like managing, when he manages?
He was in tech, like, he was... Do you know what it was, Jim? I think he was so intense. He spoke to players. He spoke down to some players.
Okay.
And sometimes when you do that, players can go the other way.
They
don't want to play for you.
Yeah.
Because you're talking to them like a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
And I think he lost some of the senior lads on the strength for that.
Okay.
And some of the younger boys couldn't live up to it. They couldn't do it. They couldn't handle it. So I think he struggled in terms of managing the group. When he played, he'd either be brilliant or he'd get sent off.
Yeah. He seems like quite an aggressive...
He's tenacious. But I think that was one of his qualities. I think that came through him as a person as well.
Yeah.
But he asked, it's funny, he wore number one, didn't he?
Yeah.
On the pitch.
I didn't even know that.
He was trying to set a trend of midfielders wearing the number one.
Someone has done it. Someone wore number one before. I think it was a Dutch guy as well, funny enough. But it has been done. But
a bit matching.
But Jim, he's played in World Cups and he wants to wear number one in the conference. Yeah. Like, I can't work that out. What are you doing?
You just want to go under the radar.
Because what's going to come of that? There's nothing but negative publicity you're going to get from that, because people are just going to laugh at you. You know, you're Regan Davies.
You just take what everyone's left
Why
over.
Why are you bothered about what number you wear?
Yeah.
Listen, Mick McCarthy laughed. We played Ipswich pre-season. I know he went, oh, I said, look, we spoke about him wearing number one. He went, Stacky. He went, I've had plenty of number ones that sit on the bench, son. And he's right. It don't fucking matter what number you wear, does it? You know what I mean? But he wanted to be the big... He wanted to be the big Edgar David show, didn't it? But I remember one game we played Gates at Halifax away. And my pal's phoned me on a Friday. He went, you got a game tomorrow? I went, yeah. He went, your gaffer's in the Mayfair. I went, fucking what? He went, yeah, he's in the Mayfair. He's having a drink. He's got a couple of birds with him. I thought, fucking hell, he's told us he's got like a coaching thing or something to go to.
Yeah.
So we're up in Halifax and going up to Gateshead, and he's not coming to games.
Yeah.
Because
I read this, he wouldn't go to away games or something.
It was two or three games he didn't turn up for, because he said, I've got a coaching staff in place.
But he just came off to go all the way up to there.
So I'll let my management team do it. I don't need to be there. Mm. And I think that, you know, that didn't help him the following season when we were in the conference, because I think you've all got to be in it together. You've all got to be. It's just that mentality, and that at that level, you can't have people doing what they like. And I think in the end, he done that, and I don't think that went well for him. Wearing number one and not turning up to all the games and getting sent off three times.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's just.
That's what it says here, that he wouldn't go to away games that required like an overnight stay.
Yeah, so that would have been
his own house.
Yeah.
Or something.
So that would have been Gateshead and stuff like that. Yeah.
Have you got any other stories you want to share, Stacky, before we wrap it up? Anything? The senior edge you want to get?
Some, by the way.
I don't know.
Yeah. Really.
Very good stuff.
We've touched on a few of the clubs, I suppose.
That was brilliant. We'll have a look. We'll do the chant now. We've been asking for your football chants that you've listened to. Oh, there was a good one, Valentine's Day, when a Cardiff derby was singing, We're Only Here Because We're Single.
Yeah.
We're only here because we're single.
Was they?
Here because we're single. Which is pretty good. And we've got this one from Al Green. I don't think it's the Al Green. This is what West Ham sang.
Sitting on the dock of the bay, Al Green.
No, that's what Otis Redding. Al Green's Let's Stay Together.
Let's Stay Together.
This is West Ham versus Liverpool. Now we're singing, We've Got the Canio, You've Got Our Stereo. That's quite cool. We've got the Canio, You've Got Our Stereo.
Decent.
And a ticket to the paddock. They could add.
Yeah.
If
he's got a big cock.
Yeah. No, that's safe for Ian's one. Have you got your chant for Stacky?
Coming in. Just read it out. Right. I'll do it once, then you've all got to join
in. Slipped it in.
So you've got to remember the lyrics. Oh, I've got it, right. Okay, so it goes. It's Big Cock Stack. He's got an iron scar on his back. He'll sell you Gucci from his boot. You'll never score, so don't try and shoot.
It's good.
I love it.
You sounded really panicked.
I think it was a beat. You need more enthusiasm.
Okay, more enthusiasm. Can we bang the table?
Yeah, we can.
Can you give us some rhythm?
I'll give you some fucking rhythm, man. It's Big Cock Stack.
He's got an iron scar on his back. He'll sell you Gucci from his boot. You'll never score, so don't try and shoot.
Yeah, very good.
You didn't put big cock in.
I did, I said it's big cock stuck. I put it all in.
Well done, like, very good, very good.
No words, no respect. No respect for these chants.
He's got one more. Stack his fingers, come up. I've got one more. This is a classic. Here you go,
Stacky. This was when I was at Leeds. At Leeds. Difficult year. Obviously got relegated at the time. I was up there under Dennis Wise. He took me there from, was at Millwall with him before. And I used to get in early. I used to stay up there. And all the youth team used to be in there and had a good youth team at the time, Leeds. Yeah. There was a couple of good players in there. Fabian Delph, Danny Rose. And they used to play head tennis down on the Astro, on the indoor bit. And I used to be up sort of either in the gym or doing my bits and pieces. I had about an hour to kill. I thought, fuck it, I'll go down there and sort of see what these kids are about. Because I've heard they're meant to be mustard, and I thought, let's go and see what, you know, see what they've got to offer. So I've gone down there, they're having a game of head tennis. So I've called it on. I said, right, I'm playing next. I said, like, who am I playing? So obviously Rosie, great kid, top player, even at the time. Lovely left foot. I thought, okay, I've got my work cut out against this kid, because they were good. Yeah. But I'd always fancied myself at head tennis anyway. Worst comes to the worst, I just thought, I'd just cheat somehow. Yeah. I'll find a way to cheat. But there's about 30 youth team players there, and there was a youth team staff at Leeds there. So I said, what are we playing for, son? He went, I can whatever you want. What do you want to play for? I said, I'll tell you what we do, Rosie. I said, if I beat you, I said, you got to clean my motor. And I said, out near the first team bit, I said, after training or this week or whatever. He went, what if I win? I said, I'll give you 50 quid. He went, all right, yeah. He went, we'll do that. Sweet, lovely. So I played Rosie. I've just beat him. Just about beat him. Yeah. I thought, lovely. Next minute, this other kid's popped out, Fabian Delph. I'll play you. I'll play you for Rosie. So if I beat you, Rosie ain't got to clean your motor. I went, that's a good deal.
Yeah.
I said, but if I beat you, you're going to have to scrub my back in the shower after training. He went, okay, yeah, no problem. He's thinking he ain't going to get beat by the goalie, do you know what I mean? Mm. So I beat Fab. So now I've got Danny Rose cleaning my motor and I've got Fabian Delph scrubbing my back in the shower. So I said, rather than doing it today, we'll do it later on in the week. So I went down to the body shop, Leeds Town Centre, I've gone to the body shop, I've got the back scrubber, proper back scrubber on the stick with all the nice smells and all that, the soaps and all the rest of it. So I've come in, I've got my body shop bag, I'll just give him the heads up before training. Look, my motor's filthy. I said, Rosie, get the bucket ready. He said, you're doing the motor. And I said, Fab's coming straight after training. I want you to scrub my back, but I want everyone to see you scrubbing my back. As he's come in the changing room, I'm like, ready like that. I'm ready like that. My arms are on, my hands are up against the wall. My legs are spread out. He's got the old brush ready to go. Gwyn Williams has come steaming downstairs. He was whatever he was at the club, the director of football. Wrote, stop. Can't do that. Can't do it, Stacky. He said, the PFA will be all over us. He went, you can't have two youth team players. One of them scrubbing your back. He's obviously under 18, isn't he? He's in the shower scrubbing me back, and I've got the other one outside cleaning my motor. He thought if the FA or the PFA get hold of that, the club will be in all sorts of trouble. And I probably would have got in trouble as well. And then you look back at it now, though, Jim. At the time, I had no idea how good Rosie and Fabs were going to do. One of them was at Man City and one of them was playing for England.
Unbelievable.
Do you know what I mean? Look, and he was about to scrub my back. Clean my motor. I wouldn't mind going to clean Rosie's motor in a minute for a couple of quid, do you know what I mean?
Brilliant.
It's just crazy how careers change, isn't it? And how they move forward, do you know what I mean?
Brilliant. So, cheers, Stacky.
Cheers, my
man. Thanks.
Very funny stuff. Keep sending your favourite chants into @DaveMagicSponge or #MagicSponge.
And
keep rating it and commenting, and that helps us get it up in the charts and hopefully be number one again.
Don't be frightened to come up and saying hello, mention a podcast. I love that when you get a couple of punters come up. We had a couple the other day.
I had the cab driver on the way here, funny enough. I got from the station.
Oh, he listened.
What are you doing here? I said, I'm doing a podcast with Jimmy Bullock. He went, I love that one. He went, that sponge one. I went, that's the one.
Because if you listen to it and you think your dad might like it, get his phone, nick it, and then put it on his stereo, and they'll like it. I've done that to about 5 mates, and I was very much enjoyed it. Thanks for listening. We'll be back again with another.
Cheers, Stacky.
Thanks,
Stacky. Pleasure.
Thanks.
Cheers. Thanks.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Would you give your mum, dad, aunt, or that uncle who hugged your partner a little too long free access to your phone?
Oh, no!
Oh, my God, it's a really long video. Ew!
In Dave's brand new YouTube original, Get Off My Phone, we've got six comedians to give their phones over to a relative with total freedom to read messages, DMs, photos, and browser history.
Where's your search history?
Sorry?
What to do, tips for relief.
The rules are simple. Their relative can read anything they want and even make calls from the comedian's phone.
What is this?
I know what this one is.
That looks really bad.
Starring Tanya Moore, Anya Magliano, Finlay Christie, Travis J with his mum Angie Lamar, Hayley Morris, Grace Campbell and dad Alistair Campbell.
Slightly sexually compromising people.
Divulging their deepest digital secrets.
What the hell is happening?
Get Off My Phone, a Dave YouTube original. Available now on Dave's YouTube channel.